Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
An ancient pastime just went cyber optic.
Mom, look, I'm playing with myself. Exorbio.
Handheld gaming action is here.
The Exorbio game system fits in the palm of your hand and provides hours of fun.
Mom, look, I'm playing with myself.
Once you discover the action-packed action of Exorbio, you won't be able to stop.
Exorbio.
Take your newfound addiction everywhere. The three-color screen is just like real life. Play games like Morning Missile Crisis.
Free the hostages.
One-Eyed Monster War.
Lightsaber Struggle.
Zit. Squirt.
Pocket Pool. Mortal Sin. And Tonsil Hockey. But be careful, you might go blind.
Mom, I'm out of batteries and my arm aches.
Exorbio.
Or link up your Exorbios for private sword fight battles.
I wonder if Dad still does it.
Exorbio, let the games commence.
Exorbio.
Shut up and sit down.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Third Shift. It's episode 392, and I, of course, am your host, your funky leader, the greatest man who's ever lived, the King Midas of Third Shift. Everything I touch turns to gold. Woo! And I'm not pumped for the show today because I'm hungry and I'm mad, but I don't get to tell you about that right now. What I get to tell you about is that the Lightbringer, the Beastmaster, Third Shift, Eric is here to tell you how his week was. Hey, Eric, how was your week this week, brother?
It's been a wild and wacky week, let me tell you. I thought about it earlier today, and I said, what did I do this week? I don't know. I don't quite remember. And then it started to come back. I was like, well, video game-wise, there's one game. That's it. One game, and that's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth that I've been playing. I'm in here. I'm clearing out all the maps. Everything that gets unlocked, I go to the each and every tower, and I unlock it. And I unlock the Divine Intels, then I go to the Divine Intels, then I go to the weapon, they're little weapon marks, but they're actually like battle scenarios where you battle special enemy types. I do those, and then meet the conditions, go to the Moogle spots. I'm doing this just like you do every open world game, and clearing every single map spot that you can possibly open up and do, before I move on to any of the quests whatsoever, and then I accomplish the quests, and then I move on to the main story. This is very difficult, though, because the story is awesome. It's Final Fantasy VII, and they've made changes and improvements, et cetera, so it's even better than it was way back in the day when I first played it. So I sit there and I go, ooh, I want to know what happens. I really want to get to the next part. I know what's going to happen, you know, in a nutshell, I know what's going to happen. I want to get to that part. I love that area. But nope. No. You're going. You're going to do all these side things, and you're going to get, you know, as high level as you possibly can, material leveled as much as you possibly can before you go to the next area. So that's what I've been doing. And I've been loving every single minute of it. I'm in there, and this is how good the music is in this game, is that I slide my right earpiece enough over the head just so I can hear it from this, but I've got like a crack open so I can at least claim I can hear the real world around me. Can I? Who knows? But I've convinced myself that this is good enough. I can still hear if someone's doing something crazy in the house because it's that good. And just one earphone is not doing it. I need to hear more of this music as I'm going through because they did exactly what I told you last week or the week before, and they made hundreds of different beats based off the same songs, but just in the different moments, they got the different groove going for a song you're already familiar with, but it's got a drum now, or it's got, you know, a flute going in the background, or this or that. And I need to hear these combinations. It's so good. And then sometimes it just goes like way off the beaten path and gets absolutely crazy. And you're like, what the hell is even going on? It's got like a cool techno beat all of a sudden. They did it. They went nuts with it. And it's fantastic.
I'm telling you, man, you get yourself a nice pair of open back headphones like I got here. I don't use them all the time, but you can hear and you get the good beats.
Still get the good beats in both ears.
This is the solution. So you will just be immersed in Final Fantasy VII, but also whoop, instant here because it's all around you. It is what it is.
What's somebody moving? It's 11:42 at night. Why is there movement? What's happening?
You'll know. You'll know for sure. Mm-hmm. So get yourself a nice pair of those.
Should. Maybe that'll be, you know, my sneaky little birthday something maybe. You know what I'm saying?
A
That's right.
Who knows what it'll be. But anywho's, besides FF7 Rebirth, that's the only game I've played. Real life-wise, I went to a 50th year wedding anniversary, whatever you want to call it, this weekend for my buddy James's parents, you know. And that was a lot of fun, hanging out there. A lot of, you know, older people and friends of theirs were there, so a little strange. But at the same time, it was great getting to talk to Mr. McCann, Mrs. McCann, and kind of reminisce about, you know, the younger days, of course, growing up and funny stuff with James, this and that. So it was a good time. And what was really crazy, and this has not much to do with anything, but it was big to me, and for some reason I remember it. I'm not usually out after 7 o'clock on a Saturday. Well, our local radio station, Q106, does a heavy metal section from 7 to 11 Saturday nights. So we're driving home, and all of a sudden, I'm getting, like, In Flames and Slayer on the radio, and you know, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, damn, this is good music. Wow, there's actually something to listen to on the radio, and I'm jamming. And it didn't even cross my mind until, like, 3 or 4 songs in that it was only this particular moment in time that I was going to get that. And I was like, wait a minute. What time is it? And it was, like, 7:20, and I'm like, wow, there's actually good music on a radio station for, you know, at least 3 or 4 allotted hours. Wow, wow. So it kind of just blew my mind, and then it was funny how it just slipped in, because I was just like, yeah, I was just jamming. And it was like the old days when I had a CD player, because cars don't have CD players anymore, so I don't listen to any music I like anymore. So I'm like, oh, damn, man, that's cool. Wow, this has been great if I had a CD player. Wow. But beyond that, that's about it. It's been a pretty unproductive week, but this week's been cool because I've got Thursday off, Friday off, Saturday, Sunday, so a nice 4-day weekend for me. What I'm going to do with it, time will tell. So far today, got some gaming in, but had a couple tasks to accomplish, little things here and there. Went to breakfast, had some steak and eggs. It was glorious. It was great. Good way to begin the day. And now I'm doing the show to kind of wrap the day up. So, you know, here we are. What about you, Matt?
Well, I teased it earlier, so I got to tell the story. And I was going to do it before the show, but we did a whole other discussion before the show. I had to go get some stuff for tomorrow after work. So I went and got to the grocery store, get the stuff. I'm like, all right, I'm going to get myself some dinner while I'm here. What am I going to get? What's hot and ready? Nothing. It's all been picked over. Whew, just picked over Jones. Okay. What's cold and ready? Buffalo wings, stuff like that. $5.49 though. And I'm probably going to eat it cold. Nah. Go grab the stuff. Get out. I'm like, okay, I don't do this, but I'm going to go get some fast food. Here I go. Vroom. Let's go to the McDonald's. Line's like around the block, up the corner, 5 miles long. No, can't do that. Okay. You know what? I never go to that Burger King. Let's go to that Burger King. Go to the Burger King. There's no line. I go, sweet. This is a less popular place. Like, the McDonald's is always popular. The Burger King is almost never. And I went, I'm going to go get it. Drive up. Roll the window down. Hey, welcome to Burger King. Hey, unfortunately, I am closed right now. What? Okay. Off I go. That's two down. Getting mad. I'm hungry. I just want to eat something. All right. This is fine. I'm going to make it up to myself. I'm going to go get Jersey Giant. The big long submarine, gonna get tuna, gonna get onions, gonna get all the stuff on it. It's gonna be great. Oh yeah, here I go. Jersey Giant. Pull in the little shopping plaza. The open sign is not on. Why? Drive by. There's one human inside, but like 25% of the lights are on. I'm not gonna do it. They could be open, because there's a human inside. But I could also go up to the door and go, tuka, tuka, and they'll go, huh? Point at the non-open sign. Or I could open the door and they'll go, oh, sorry, we're closed. And then I'll smash the window and cut my hand up and then go to the hospital and be arrested. So I drove home and I just ate some veggies and stuff. I'm hungry. I wanted meat. I don't like crave like a burger or something very often. But I needed something, and instead I got nothing. Got not a single thing.
There's an A&W sitting right there.
That's down. That's way down. What are you talking about?
Dude, that's like 2 seconds away.
It's not. You don't even live here anymore. You don't know where
I
stuff
know where
is.
Everything is. I have grown.
You have no
up
idea
there.
Where
my life
is.
Was there. You guys gotta understand. From Matt, 2 seconds away, to him, he thinks it's like 40 minutes. All right.
Here's the other thing. It's 5 o'clock traffic, Eric.
That's
in a
true.
City, like a yeah. proper, like this isn't a city.
Remember,
but
I grew up there. Remember?
This is yeah. this isn't like Country Roads McJones, where 5 o'clock traffic is like one semi
remember,
and a guy in a hatchback.
I lived there from zero to like 35.
And you've forgotten because you don't know where the A and W is. It's way down. It's down by where you used to live. Anyway, regardless, it's too late. I'm mad. I ate my food here, whatever. But the whole rest of the week, it's been a pretty good week because over the weekend, went out to Williamston Theater, caught the very last showing of a play called Maytag Virgin about old people who've had loss and are rediscovering love. Really nice play, really funny, and good performances because the actor and actress are a real-life couple, so believable, really cool, really funny. Let's see. I don't think it did anything else in the real life. Oh, before that, I went to one of my favorite restaurants out there. Mom and I, whenever we go to the plays, we used to always go to dinner at this one restaurant just kitty-corner from the theater that have, like, a special drink to commemorate the play that was on, eat some amazing food. For some reason, we don't eat there anymore. So instead, I went beforehand, ate so much good food. Had such a great time, drank some awesome drinks, and then went and saw an awesome show. So a great weekend. Also over the weekend and the rest of the week, I've been playing games. I've been playing games. So many games. 3 games. So many. Got in a stream of Persona 3 Reload. Oh, brother. I wish I hadn't streamed it because I could just be playing it off stream and just sit with, and literally doing nothing. I could just go back to the dorm at night and just nod my head and just groove, minding my biz. So mind your own biz. Oh, it's so fun and so good. I have gotten to like the first social link guy who I hated in Persona 3 Portable. The initial one, it's still just meh. Just it's kind of that meh. But at least you got to go to a ramen shop instead of the screen going black and him going, "I like ramen. Your ramen's great." So at least there's that. So it's a little more visually interesting. And like I said, on my stream, running through those environments, it feels right. It feels good. I tried to say it on the stream, but I didn't get it across. The way that your character transitions from like a dead stop to like he takes a few like jog steps and then starts running, and like the position of his hand changes just like you would because you got it in your pockets. You start running. They kind of like come out, and then he does the run. So good. Like, it's visually perfect. Like, he doesn't just go from stock still to run pose. He builds up like a human would. It's great. Love it. Been having fun with that. They've been having fun with, like a dragon, Infinite Wealth. Because I beat the game. I went back and beat one of the big dungeons. And then, because I got the deluxe edition, because I'm a cool boy, I have a bonus endgame dungeon to do. At the end of each of those floors, that endgame dungeon, which is not hard because I'm overleveled, it's right just a little bit easier than it should be. It's not super easy, but it's right on that cusp. But after each of those levels, you get another beautiful scene of the whole crew hanging out, doing goofy stuff. It's great. It's awesome. There's like 5 levels. You get 4 scenes. There wasn't a capstone scene, which I'm kind of sad about, but it's just great. And it's more combat, it's more fun, fighting bosses. Kiryu's being, like, it's such a goof with the gang, it's so good, it's so great. I beat that, I got a bunch of the other, like, random trophies that I had missed. Now all I have is the Dondoko Island stuff to do. And then I might go back and do a Legend playthrough, I don't know. Because Legend difficulty, I'll just skip the story, do the fights, get the trophy. Should be fast, should be easy. So I don't know, but I'm still, like, I want to do that. Like, I actively want to do that, which I normally don't. New Game Plus? Nah. Super hard difficulty? No. But now I want to, so maybe I will. And the other game that I've been sucked into that I didn't expect to get sucked into, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. I don't know if I mentioned that I had beaten it before on the show, but I did, and that was like 2 weeks ago. And then it opened up the, hey, go on into the Elseworld stuff and start building up your character for... build up your mastery levels or whatever they're called. Then I went, and that's when Like a Dragon just hooked me in. Now that I'm back out, I went, I got 40 minutes. I'll run do some of those missions. And then it was an hour and a half later, and I went, oh, yeah, I like this. I like it. And I told Eric this off air, just grinding for gear and not getting gear, but still just doing those fun missions because the combat's fun, the characters are fun, the missions are quick. You got like less than 10 minutes and you're done with it. Sometimes way less if you do even better. Oh man, I didn't get anything, but it unlocked the next difficulty level up. So I'm going to do that. I didn't get anything, but he got something. I got something for Captain Boomerang that's probably an upgrade. All right, let me do it again. Let me do it one more higher. Let me do one more higher. I finished off three characters. They're max level. I'm working on Deadshot right now. And it's just, God, it's just fun. There's even a thing where you go into the Elseworlds thing, and the more enemies you kill, the higher the difficulty goes. And you don't get as good of rewards doing that as you do with just the missions. But I went in with Deadshot, who's like half-leveled compared to everyone else. And I stormed through all the mayhem levels of it. And just harder, 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 harder. And I couldn't believe it, because he doesn't do the damage that these other characters do. And I'm not as familiar with him right now. But I was finding every little trick, every little nuance, every little hook, every little crook, every little snook. Oh, it just felt good. It felt so good. Oh, I love that game. That game's great. And that's all I've been doing this week. I can't think of anything else, but it was a good week.
Matt's been talking about some good games, great games. I'm going to tell you about a game that might not be so good, so great, or maybe it is, because it's a conflicting game. And that is a game that even me and Matt thought was conflicting back when we saw it. And that's Outcast, A New Beginning, everybody. This game originally came out way back in the day, 90s, all right? Ancient times. Some of you may never have been born back then. Who knows? I never heard of it. Didn't know anything about it. But I guess a sequel has come. And, of course, if you go to their website, they say it's a long... Everyone's been waiting for this game to come back. I don't know if that's true. But apparently it was like one of the, you know, earlier games to adopt the open world, do what you want kind of vibe. And so, you know what, maybe there is something to it. I wasn't into that stuff back then. I can't tell you. All I can tell you is that the developer is Appeal Studios, and it's all the gents and ladies who made Outcast back in the 90s. They got back together to do this one. And of course, THQ Nordic is the ones who published it. And we know that THQ is doing mysterious stuff. Who the hell knows? It comes out March 15th for your PlayStation 5, your new Xbox S, Xbox X, and, of course, PC. So with that being said, if you don't know, this game was reviewed or shown a long time ago. Me and Matt were like, whoa, I don't know, could be good, could be bad. Some of the graphics were kind of iffy, you know, some of the talking points, the animations for the characters while they were doing stuff, we were like, whoa, wait a minute, it's all there, everybody, all right? I went and watched, like I said, about 3-4 reviews on this bad boy. And old Cutter, he's back. Apparently he saved the day in the first one. Got sent back through a Stargate-like portal to his homeworld. They didn't like the fact that he didn't die doing what he was supposed to be doing in the game. So they end up executing him. But the Talons, I believe they're called, which is the people you're helping in this Stargate, you know, alternate world, do some ritual, resurrect him, and have him back again because they need him, because now, years and years later in this dimension, those same people, those same humans, have come with robots to harvest the planet, take all the minerals away from it, ruin everything, enslave the people, screw everybody over. You think of Pandora, everybody kept making comparisons to Pandora because it's basically kind of the story in a nutshell. You are a former Navy SEAL, Mr. Cutter. You're back again, but your memories have been wiped. So you don't even remember saving them already once and then getting, you know, tossed back and then getting executed. You have no memory of any of that. But you're still the same you. You have a very witty little comeback kind of humor. Everybody seems to be kind of dumb in the game, and that's supposed to be kind of like all the jokes. That's where all the humor comes from in this. Now, what is cool about this game, from what I can tell, is that if you like the open world checklist stuff, that's what this is all about. You're going to get a whole bunch of quests to go kill a certain amount of enemies, collect a certain amount of plants, take care of a certain amount of robots, go stop a convoy of ships, etc. You will then go out and do said things at your leisure, however, whichever way you want to do it. And what's really cool, and what got Matt interested was the fact, I believe it was anyway, was the jetpack. So Cutter gets this jetpack early on. And at first, it has like one little, you know, so you basically get like a double jump, but then it gets two, then it gets three, then all of a sudden you're able to just to keep it going. And then to top it off, you get like a squirrel suit, flying squirrel suit. So when you have the flying squirrel suit, now you've got this glider effect going and you're just flying. You're going wherever the hell you want to go. You're doing all sorts of cool jumps, getting onto platforms and areas that earlier in the game you couldn't, but now you can do anything you want to do. And then they went even a step further and they have this mount that comes to you at a certain point in the game that allows you to just go way up and you can just see and go anywhere on this map you want to go. That's awesome. Downside is, as I told you, performance-wise, the game isn't quite keeping up. Everyone keeps saying that they were playing PC with all the latest and greatest, and they were lucky to be getting like 45 frames per second. There was a lot of drop-in, you know, from the graphics, etc. A lot of rough edges that weren't refining themselves. But then there'd be great times where everything was in 4K, beautiful. So it was all over the place. And of course, that doesn't bode well sometimes when you're playing a game where you're flying fast through large areas and it's everything's just popping in just or just staying pixelated because it just doesn't have the time to load properly. That can become a mess. And I understand the frustration with that. So if that is something that really bugs you, be warned. That's in this game and it's just what happens. And the other end of it, I already alluded to it, the talons or whatever they're called, they're all just simple. They don't understand your humor. So every time you're saying something, they're taking it literally. And it just is over and over. Every joke is kind of based on that. So if you get some laughs out of that, then hey, give it a shot. If you don't, just be warned once again that this is something in here. From all three reviews, though, positive was the weapons. You get a rifle and you get a pistol. However, you get to mod said rifle and pistol with all sorts of different mods. I think you get four different ones total, like in your pistol and six in the rifle. And you can go all over with this, allowing your weapons to do a billion different things. And of course, you get to find like what works best for you, what you think does the most kind of damage, or what you're just having the most fun with. But to me, and apparently to the reviewers, that was awesome. And a ton of fun just out there killing all these, you know, plants, animals, and robots that you're engaging with throughout the game to accomplish the missions for said peeps living on this planet. So overall, it seems good. I mean, from what I watched, it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't. But it doesn't have that finesse. It doesn't have the polish that you know a lot of people are coming to expect from games these days. So I want to say, go take a look. If you like open world games and you want to just have some fun out there shooting baddies and bugs and whatnot, it might be up your alley. But I just warn you that apparently there's a lot of misgivings and issues with this game as well. So please be wary if this is something you might want to get.
Now, that's a game I had no idea it was coming out this soon. Obviously, you said, we've talked about it, we've seen it in reveals. The first reveal I got super hyped for, the second one was kind of, who knows what this is going to be. But now it's out. And the same thing can be said of a game that came out weeks ago now at this point. But a game that I was also interested in from the reveal, and we both went, oh, I don't know about this one. But Pacific Drive came out on the 22nd of February, a whole month ago, almost. Developed by Ironwood Studios, published by Kepler Interactive for PC and PS5. And if you don't remember Pacific Drive, oh my God, go check out that reveal trailer where you are a person in your car and you're driving through the woods and it's scary and it's spooky and there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on because in this game, you are a person. You don't have a real character, you're just a fella. And you drove your car into this like radioactive isolation zone. Some kind of crazy thing happened in the woods of the Pacific Northwest. You ended up inside of it, and your car is trashed. It's gone. It's gone. It's blown up. But what you do have is this old beat-up station wagon. And you get in the station wagon, and it's kind of weird. And it kind of doesn't drive right. And it's kind of strange. And as you're driving in the station wagon, weird stuff is going on. There's these weird creatures. There's these weird events. There's weird things like these mannequins, and if you hit them, they explode in your car. But they also, if you watch them, they don't move. And sometimes they'll just whoop. If you look to the left, and then you look to the right, boom. There's one right there. There's these creatures that have like, I don't know how to describe it, like little magnets hanging off of them, and they attach to your car and they drag your car off to the side. They don't attach to you, but they drag the car. So they're dragging you, and then there's weird other things, just all kinds of weird, crazy stuff. There's this storm that's circling around you, and this is that game where it's you and the car. People are saying like it's a survival game, but you don't survive yourself. Your car survives. You go out and you find resources. You build up your car. You fix up your car. And you get new abilities, new ways to do stuff. You go out. This isn't like a big open world thing like the usual survival games are. Oh, you're just dumped in the world and try to survive. It's kind of mission-based. So if you decide you want to take the car out to this area where you can find this resource to try and start harvesting it, you drive out there, you get out of the car, you're running around doing stuff. Sometimes, hey, maybe the car's not even there when you get back. You got to go find it because weird stuff's happening. Weird stuff is everywhere in this game. I've heard stories of like, people call them tourists, and I don't know if that's like the name of a creature in this game or like a literal human. Like you'll be running around and then ping, 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 ping. Somebody just throws something at your feet, a resource, and you pick it up and you look, and that's a person, a tourist who wasn't there before. What the hell is going on? This was all kinds of weird, crazy stuff, environmental stuff, weird alien creatures, all kinds of crazy stuff. There is an overarching story. There are like three or four scientists who talk to you over the radio. They have theories about what's going on and how you can escape from this thing, but it's all about you and this car, and that's what I'm so intrigued by, because I'm not a crafting games guy, I'm not a survival games guy, but I am that guy who has a story of my character and his thing. Whether it's a character and his horse, character and his gun, character and his ship, this is how I did it. This is my story with this thing. This is my story with this car, as we're in this crazy, weird, alien slash radioactive slash strange thing environment. And this is how we got through. Remember that time when I went out to the mission off to the east and all the doors got ripped off, but I made it back? One of the coolest things that I think, and people have talked about this in a bunch of the reviews, like you don't just drive all the way home. You have like an extraction point. So it's like this big glowing beacon of light. So when stuff is just going crazy, you're like driving as fast as you can, like a bat out of hell toward this giant glowing beacon as stuff's crashing down and the car's going off the rails, and it just sounds thrilling and exciting. People are saying it's more like an extraction game than a survival game because you go in, you get your resources, and then you got to get the hell out before the storm gets too bad, before the creatures all notice you, before something bad happens. And since you have those resources, when you get back to the garage, you're fixing up the car. You're crafting things to put on the car to make it better. You're doing this and this and this and this. And then the other thing is, this car, it's not just a car. There's something special about it because as you're driving, the car can develop quirks, and you think, oh, just like your car in real life, it kind of pulls this way, it kind of leans this way. But it's more than that, because sometimes you leave the car and it can develop a quirk where it tries to run you over, it tries to back over you as you're loading up the trunk. But you go back home to the garage and you have to do this, people call it like if-then statements, like logic puzzle to solve the quirk of the car, so now it doesn't do that. But the more you go out, the more quirks your car develops. So it is this relationship of you and the car. It's not really like a sentient being, but it kind of is, because you're going through this adventure together. And when you went out there, oh man, now it pulls to the left a little bit. Now when I leave it abandoned for too long, it starts driving, you know, this way. Or if I go up hills for too long, then it starts stalling out. I've seen video clips of they're just driving away from some enemy and the car just kind of pulls to the stop, kicks the door open, and you just like tumble out. It looks crazy. It looks wild. It looks great. There's one last story that I'll tell, and I read some website who did a review of it. And obviously, this game's not for everybody. If you're into this kind of stuff, it's going to be for you. But I was reading this guy's whole story of how much he loves this game and all this stuff. Then I went to the comments section, and someone went, you know, I was really struggling in this one spot because I needed two more pieces of scrap to build the whatever it was he was talking about. And then I realized every time you open the hood, you know, it's like a big hatchback station wagon. You open the hood, it like bonks you in the head if you let go of it. And every time you do that, it takes away one health out of your little health pool. And you went, oh man, what if I refill that health by eating this can of food? Then I have one more piece of scrap. And I'm like, it blew my mind. Like this weird little mechanic that's just obviously put in there just for flavor. Like bonk, oh, haha, that's what old cars with old hatchback things did. But then this person took it to another level. So if I hurt myself, I can eat a food, then that gives me a scrap that I can use to craft on the thing. This game looks incredible. Like, I don't know if this would be for me or not, and it's not going to be for everybody, but just watching what people are doing in this, watching the reviews of it, just seeing the kind of bond you can have with your car. And you can paint it all up. You can put all kinds of stuff like on the dashboard, collectibles you find, all these kind of stuff. Like, this story that you make with this car sounds amazing, even though I'm not a resources man and I'm not a crafting man. It just looks incredible. So if that sounds interesting to you at all, or if that just the concept sounds interesting and you want to support a developer doing a cool concept like this, check out Pacific Drive. Like I said, PC, PS5. It looks incredible. It looks wild and crazy. I might just have to get it just because, like I said, I want to support somebody doing something this cool. Even if I don't play it all the way through, even if I don't beat the story, I'll have a bond with me and this vehicle, and I'll have adventures that only the two of us went on. Oh, it looks great.
Sounds cool. Honestly, Matt, what's funny about that game is that I tried to watch a bunch of it on Twitch, but it was there for like 3 days and then gone. You know, and I was like, well, I didn't get to watch a bunch of this. I really wanted to check it out and see what it was all about. But unfortunately, due to a couple big games, mainly Helldivers 2, etc., it didn't get a long life in the Twitch stratosphere for all the people I do follow, etc. So that was kind of a bummer. I really did want to see more on it. It looked interesting. Probably not something I'd play, but something I'd watch. I think I already said that in a previous episode. It's something I'd like to check out through watching someone play. So who knows? Maybe I'll get lucky and someone will pick it up a little bit later and I'll be able to check it out. But while I'm waiting for that, man, guess what? I'm waiting for something else, and that's the Summer Games Fest, folks. It's been announced June 7th, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is going to be, I think, in Los Angeles. Yes, at the YouTube Theater. Rocking and rolling again. Now, I'm just excited in general for it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we always have a great time seeing what's coming, you know, all the big games, etc. But this year, and I don't know if it happened last year, I just maybe didn't see or care, but as of May, they didn't announce the exact date, you're going to be able to buy tickets. The public will have an opportunity to buy tickets to actually go to this event on June 7th. They won't be able to stay and participate in the 8th, 9th, and 10th when influencers and devs, etc., get to go and play these games that were showcased and actually check it out. But you can actually go to the show and be a part of it if that's what you want to do. So if that's something you're interested in, come May, you better have your little keyboard ready to go clickety clack 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 and spend probably $1,000 and then God knows what else on the tickets to get there, etc. But if this is something you want to do, you get a chance to do it. Otherwise, you're going to be like us schmuckatellis and you just get to watch it on Twitch, YouTube, etc. come June 7th. But there you go, everybody. Please look forward to it, you know?
So these tickets would be for like a stage show, like the Game Awards, like he's going to be up on stage talking about stuff.
Yes, they're actually going to the YouTube Theater stage. You get to come in and sit in a nice seat and watch on big screens and smoke and mist and all the usual pomp and circumstance.
Because you had me in the first half, but then I started thinking, the all-day event stuff that's later, the public doesn't get to go to.
Yeah, we don't get to do that.
I mean, very cool, because I mean, I would still love to go to the Game Awards or something like this. And so I'm not downplaying it, but I was like, man, he totally just ate E3's lunch, as we always say. Man, maybe he's going to make it like E3. No, it's just going to be a stage show, and you're going to get to go,
yay!
Woo, yay! The only thing I'll say is they did a great job, as we talked about on the show, with the Game Awards, with those 9-foot-tall security guards. Have them here, too, because I guarantee something stupid's going to happen if you don't. But they did a great job last time, so I believe they'll do a great job this time. And Summer Games Fest is always good, and I always like the stuff that's around it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you always say you can never catch up on all of it.
I can't catch up with it all.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love that they have, like, small indie stuff. There's, like, Cozy Gamers. There's, like, Day of the Devs is always right around there.
OTK does a big thing.
Yeah, there's always a bunch of little things. So there's always something really cool to just, whoop, pick out. You didn't see it, but I saw it, or I didn't see it, but you saw it. I like this event. It's always fun.
Yeah, and then even the developers themselves, like Capcom and stuff, they always end up having sideshows with, you know, even more on what was showcased at said award show with a surprise always in it. There's just a million of them. And like I've complained before, I feel like it's too many and it's too scattered. But it's still exciting. It's just like, it's just so much fun and things to see and do in that time period. So definitely a lot of good times. And you know, if we can grow just from now till then, we'd be influencers. You know, we could get titled actual influencer status. And then we could go. We'd be part of the whole kit and caboodle.
All we need is Eric to start streaming also. Then I'll be like the RPG streamer and you'll be like the action game streamer. So you just got to...
And then just keep it going. Like, but then we have to stream 4 or 5 days.
That 4-day weekend you got, you just be hammering away, getting those Elgato rigs all set up. That's how we.
It'd be 3 days I'm on, 3 days you're on. We'd have to do that round because you got to stream for 5-6 days a week if you want to be an influencer.
I'm down with it.
That's just the way it goes. And of course, Matt's down with it. Wasn't he? Got nothing to lose here. I got a marriage to lose, I think.
But then you have more time to stream afterwards. We can go 7 days a week once you lose that. Get kick that ball and chain of them kids to the curb. Live a squalor man's life. It'll be fine. It's fine.
And then the alcoholism will come in, and then all of a sudden. And
then the streams will be even more interesting and more great.
Until they aren't. And then
we'll have Twitch drama. Like,
but then we'll have a big drama thing going with my eventual death or imprisonment or something. And then it'll be great. I can see it now. That's a lot of fun. That sounds fantastic.
Live stream the pauper's funeral of Eric Batten. We're just pushing him into like the Charlotte Lake. There's live stream at 2:30 in the morning with my one camera light. I'm just rolling him in. Rolling him in.
You go out and roll out into the gravel pit behind the house and just
perfect.
Rest in peace, buddy.
Pour one out. Ooh, here's a Jim Beam bottle for you.
Here, yeah, I'll put a rock on it, throw it in. It's coming down, buddy. Rest in peace.
So we go from good times to sad times. And I feel bad because this happened like right after the previous show that we did. And it was blown up for like 3 whole days, like all over the weekend. People were posting up tributes and nostalgic stories and all this stuff. Akira Toriyama, the legendary creator of Dragon Ball, did all his art for Dragon Quest, for Chrono Trigger, for all kinds of games throughout history. Blue Dragon on 360. He unfortunately passed away at the beginning of March. And like I said, it was sad, obviously, but also beautiful to see, like on Twitter, just nonstop that whole weekend. It was people posting up, you know, memories, thanks for all the good times. I've never been too big into like the latest Dragon Ball stuff, but as a kid, everybody loved Dragon Ball. Every male kid loves some Dragon Ball. And if you didn't watch anime, you know Chrono Trigger. Those characters are burned into your brain. You play Dragon Quest like Eric does. Those character designs are burned into your brain. So a man who had manga artists, video game artists, anime, everything. A legend in the industry. And he's passed, and it's sad.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't get worked up about pretty much anybody passing. But I do respect the fact that, like you said, everybody was just on the social medias, posting like their favorite, their homages to him. You know, like artwork they had done in inspiration of what he had done. And just, of course, kind words all around. And that did get me thinking about it, you know, and I'm like, God dang, you know, I've grown up playing Dragon Quest forever. That's his artwork. That's his stuff. I just took it for granted. You know, it's just what it is. And then I was like, you know, Chrono Trigger, dude, a legend game. And then, of course, all my memories of sitting there in the barracks being forced to watch Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z with my idiot anime friends. Because at the time, I didn't really watch anime. I thought they were just a bunch of nerds and geeks, but I was roommates with them, so what else am I going to do? I guess sit there, drink a beer, and watch them watch their shows. But I came to love it. You know, I've even got a coffee mug that I've had for years of Trunks and Trunks Core and whatnot, you know. And so it got me in, even though back then I didn't really care. I grew to like it, but at the time I didn't. And so I'm like, well, you do have memories. You do have a good, deep association with his artwork and his, you know, creative side. And then I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, you know, what's that going to mean for Dragon Quest going forward? I mean, I'm not an idiot. Obviously, there's a jar of artists who can now draw in the style and fashion that he does, but they're not going to create anything new. You know, maybe they will, but will it be the flavor he had? You know, will it stay consistent to what he always did? I don't know. You know, I guess time will tell, but you know, now we just don't get anything more genuine from him, and that sucks. It's just a bummer. You hate to see it, especially because I think it was, like, 68.
Yeah.
So still relatively young. Not, you know, he could have had a good 20, 30 more years. But unfortunately, that's just the way the cookie crumbles.
And I will say, I think that one of the best kind of tributes and encapsulations of his work reaching throughout the ages is somebody posted up Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, the game that came out, I think it was on PS4 not too long ago. In Japan had an awesome commercial where it's, you know, a salary man going home and he sees kids running and he goes and starts playing Dragon Ball Z Kakarot and he starts to think of how he as a kid with his buddies, they used to do the Kamehameha and they used to do all the stuff. And then the next day he sees the kids running through and they're doing the same thing. And You know, I've seen people on Twitter again, you know, I was in a foreign country and I didn't know anybody and they didn't even speak the language, but I had a Goku shirt on and a local came up and pointed to me and went, Goku, and we high-fived and we had a moment, because this stuff just crosses all the cultural boundaries because it's been everywhere. It's been everywhere at this point. So I thought that that commercial was awesome. That kind of touched me because thinking about all the stuff I grew up with and, you know, seeing some younger people being able to appreciate that stuff. So I don't know. It's sad. I'm not too attached to all of his works, but I have history with all of them. And we've seen tributes from other manga artists talking about how he helped them out when they were younger, how he was always, you know, honest with them, a good person. So it's sad and a loss for the industry as a whole.
Just rest in peace. Wish you the best in the next world, next life, whatever it was he believed in. Hope that's what he gets.
And so, not to end the show on a down note, but we're going to let Eric get off and enjoy a little bit more of his birthday evening. So, what about you out there in podcast listener land? Do you have a bunch of history with Dragon Ball Z, with Dragon Quest, with Chrono Trigger? I know you do. I know you've been playing Chrono Trigger at the very least. Send memories to us. Or if you're driving a cool car through the Pacific Northwest and you're getting struck by weird lightning and your car is alive and it's doing stuff, let me know that. If you've been resurrected on an alien planet and you're flying around,
and you got a jetpack, definitely let me know that, because I want that jetpack.
And if you're hyped, or not hyped, but just be hyped for a samurai like 1800s Japan, swinging and grappling around and using guns and doing all kinds of stuff coming out next week. Let me know that too via the email, thirdshiftme@gmail.com, on the Twitter machine at thirdshiftme. Find us on Facebook and Third Shift. Hit the Discord, the Patreon, hit the Twitch stream. Find me anywhere. You know what? Knock on my door. I'll even open it up, especially if I'm working at home, because I'll be like, is it the neighbors? Do they need something? Is something going wrong? And I open it up, and it's an old Jehovah's Witness lady. And I go, hey, how's it going? Nice to meet you. Hey, sure, I'll take that pamphlet. I'm never going to come to the thing, but I'm going to be nice to you because I'm a nice person. Thanks, old lady. You could be that old lady at my door. You could do it. Do it.
You could do it. You could do that. Or you could, instead of, you know, checking out that other game with the weird random samurai man and swords flying around doing things, you could check out this other game where you're in this fantastical environment and there's these ogres and weird creatures and you're just all these different things with swords and shields and magic and you're having a blast. So yeah, that mystery game with all sorts of weird medieval things happening and stuff, that game might happen. You know what I mean?
I saw a clip. Okay, I spoiled it for myself. But I saw a clip where if you're fighting like a griffin and you grab onto it, it can like fly back to its nest. It can fly. Baby.
Yep.
So cool.
And you're just stuck going with it. Yep.
Just hanging on.
It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a great game. Can't wait. And you know, I got time to play it. I don't because there's another game that I'm actively blocking right now that also comes out next week that adds to it. So it's,
I have the collector's edition, the one thing sitting, and then the other game that I just talked about is coming out next week. God, yeah.
It's all piling up. It's so insane. But with that being said, hey, you know what? We also have this other thing. It's called Patreon. It's a little tip jar. Throwing $1, $2, $3, $100, all the bucks in the whole wide world. Keeps the lights on. We've said thank you a bajillion times for everybody who's done it in the past, future, present, because it is awesome, and we do appreciate it because, hey, money's money, and keeping this stuff active, it's a real thing. So if you have done it and thinking about doing it, please do so. We appreciate it a whole bunch if you can't. I already told you last time. I told you it was going to be my birthday this week. I said, hey, give us a 5-star review or something. You know, that'd be a great birthday gift. That'd send me into old smiles and things and all sorts. But Matt didn't say there was one, so you didn't want me to be smiling. You didn't want me to be happy on my birthday. So what happens to you in the future? That's on you, listener. That's on you. Okay, let me just tell you, might not be great. I don't know. We'll find out. But maybe do it this week. Make up for your irresponsibility this last week and not doing it. Do it for me for the next week. Or mailbag questions. Get on the Discords. We got peeps talking on the Discords. It's a good time for sure. I love the feedback. I love hearing people talk about what we were yapping about, their opinions on some of the games, some of the shows, some of the this and some of the that. You all make it fun for us. So get on out there and handle business.
And of course, listen to that very next episode on iTunes and Stitcher, on Podbean, on Spotify, and on YouTube, which will be dropping on or around the 21st. Hey, Eric, surprise. We got to do an early episode that week because I got a show that night, literally on the 21st. So it'll probably be dropping on or around the 20th. Like I said, you can find it where you can find it. And as I always say, hey, if you like what we're doing, you'd like to help us out, please give us a like, a rating, view, a comment, a subscription, any kind of good thing on any one of those good services, because it does help us out. We really do appreciate it. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, yeah, we do appreciate it. Appreciate it like a soy meatball. Don't even know what I was going to say. It's over. Doesn't matter. Get on there. Get the 5-star ratings. Do us a favor. Handle that business.
And until that time, there's nothing else to say but...
Happy birthday. Don't forget to say...
Shut up and sit down.
Yeah, I like the song is more Happy Birthday, everybody. Yeah.
And we'll send you the Weird Al Happy Birthday that's about like, oh, all the bombs are going to drop or we're going to die. Heck yeah.
Hell yeah.